Canto 29. When, at the time of our spring equinox, the sun, Apollo, rises in the ram and the moon, Diana of the lovely locks, is sinking in the scales, when to the gram the two are balanced, so that each one wears the world's horizon for a belt, both west and east, loads that the zenith bears, for just the time between that point of rest and when the two of them change hemisphere, unbalanced from that girdle. Beatrice kept her silence, smiling with her face a sheer cascade of light, and on the point that swept my senses from me, her own gaze was fixed. "I tell," she said, "I don't ask what you ache to hear, for I can see it there unmixed where all dimensions meet with no mistake, and every time and place is centered. Wrong to think that he might for himself gain good, that cannot be, in short term or in long. Right, though, to think that his great splendor could shine back and say from his eternity, I am. Beyond time and all other bounds, the everlasting love was pleased to be revealed as who he is, one who astounds with all his new loves. Nor did he before lie still and sleeping, as we now might say. Before and after were mere words that bore no meaning, not until he made our day moving upon the waters. Substance, form, both separate and united, then could come to life, three arrows flying in a swarm, from one bow with three strings, a life in sum without flaw. As a ray shines into glass, amber or crystal, so that from the time of its arrival no more time will pass before it is complete, just so the prime threefold creation happened in a flash, sent by its Lord in one burst with no sign of demarcation, one thing with no clash of lesser things or even their outline, whole from the start. And with that there began order, the frame created and ordained for all the angels, summit of the plan which is the universe. From it they gained pure act, and the pure potency was placed lowest, and in between these purities the bond that knows no bounds was interspaced to join them. Your Jerome wrote fantasies about the course of ages that it took to make the angels, the world not made yet. But what I say comes from another book, a truth on many pages firmly set in writing by the scribes whose guiding voice outranks Jerome. I mean the Holy Ghost. Just read it carefully and make your choice, helped by the written source that matters most, although your reason too, to some extent, should see it, for no logic can allow the heavenly movers ever could be meant to wait for their perfection. You now know the where and when of their creation, and on top of those two things you know the how. The three flames of what you would understand are thus already spent. Then, sooner still, than you might count to 20, a small part of that angelic total took ill will to your world, but the rest stayed with this art that you see now, encircled in delight never to leave. The signal for the fall? The accursed pride of him, who in the night you saw imprisoned down there, crushed by all the world's weights. But the angels you see here humbly acknowledge that they had been made by goodness fit, in being kept so near, to know so much, and to the highest grade their virtue was exalted by God's grace and their own merit, so that they have full and firm minds. Nor should you allow a place for doubt, but be convinced immovable on this point. It's a merit to receive such grace, by just as much as the heart stays open to let it in. Only believe my words, and you are at liberty to gaze without my help on this community. But since your schools on earth say that the sort of angels is to have a memory, to understand and will all this is taught, I shall go on, that you might clearly see the truth, which is down there so sadly fraught with ambiguity. Not since the day that they were made glad by God's face, from which nothing is hidden, have they turned away their eyes from it, so nothing new is rich enough to reach their sight. They have no need to recollect the past by any scheme of abstract thought. Down there where men breed and die, while they're awake they only dream. believing they speak truth or that they lie, but in that second thing's the greater blame and shame. With no one path to codify your thinking, you get caught up in the game of showing off. And even this is born up here, with far less ire than when divine scripture is slighted or misread to spawn perversion. There is never any sign of thought among you of the blood it cost to sow the world with it, or how he earns respect who comes to it with all pride lost. Each flaunts originality, each burns to put in something clever, gaily tossed into the text from which he never learns. The price goes up when preachers add their share of footling comment, and the gospel runs a distant second, silent in despair. One says that at Christ's agony, the sun's light was blocked out because the moon turned back. And others say the light all on its own went into hiding, so the sky turned black from one end to the other of the zone. So Spaniards and Indians as well as Jews were in the dark. Florence has fewer boys with names so many families seem to choose, Lapo and Bindo, than these bags of noise proclaiming from their pulpits cocksure views, year in, year out, the pleasure never cloys, to poor sheep who return from pasture fed on pure wind. That they do not see their loss doesn't excuse the pundits peddling lead for gold. Christ didn't say, "The crowd wants dross, spin them a line," to his first regiment. He gave them a true basis. Nothing less was on their lips than gospel when they went into the world to battle faithlessness. It was their shield and spear. But now they preach with jokes and taunts, and if they get a laugh, their cowls puff up, and if the stuff they teach were not just too much cleverness by half, but all that counts. They bask in the acclaim and ask no more. The devil, that sleek crow, nests in the hood's trail to wrap up his fame, yet if the people saw him, they would know they're trusting in a swindle from which such folly has grown on earth that they will flock to any promise, and without so much as one hint of a warrant. Thus the stock of hogs that were St. Anthony's wax fat, which once were sacred. Others more swinish still wax fatter, and the coin they pay for that is counterfeit. Pardons exchanged for swill. But we've digressed enough. Time for your eyes to once more meet the straight road, so it may be shortened with the time. Here in the skies, these angels number in their vast array, beyond what mortal thought can well devise a figure for, or mortal speech can say. For Daniel spoke of thousands, but could not be definite. 10,000 squared, and then that number cubed, and he just meant a lot more than the mind could hold. Unknown to men, the sum is yours to see. The primal light irradiating all of them is caught by them in many ways, in all the bright splendors from which that central blaze is wrought. Therefore, since the affections follow on from their conception the initial act, love's sweetness, streaming from the paragon, shines variously in them, by that one fact impelled to all the numberless degrees and kinds of brilliance, pinpoint strength unpacked into the myriad intensities of its expression. Look at how it glows. The height, the width of the eternal good. So many mirrors where it breaks and goes on breaking, yet remains the one thing. Could one and the many show more harmony? It stuns you, doesn't it? It still stuns me.